day the state is in what? You probably know the exact number of days. 3 weeks?
January 9th. But actually, we're in good shape, so to speak, on the state of the state. We had a hectic few weeks during Hurricane Sandy. But now I have time to focus on the state of the state, which is an advantage because, as you remember, last year we had a special session just about this time of year. So that was very chaotic, and that took quite a bit of time, and then we had to get ready for the state of the state. So this is actually easy compared to last year.
There's more time this year, but you did get a lot accomplished in the special session last time, so would it have been easier to have had one and gotten some of the items out of the way?
Well, it was last year we had the tax code. Portions of the tax code were expiring at the end of the year. So it actually necessitated early action. You're right, it did sort of split the workload between the special session and the regular session last year. But I think that was unique because of the expiration of the tax code.
At this point, the pay raise issue for lawmakers is pretty much dead, right? Because they can't vote themselves a pay raise. It has to be the next legislature that's elected. So that issue is just gone.
That's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, it seems inappropriate, you think, with all the suffering after Hurricane Sandy.
I think so. It's look, whether or not it was appropriate in the first place, I was never interested in a session that had to do with the pay raise, as I said from the beginning. I was interested in a session that did the people's business, and we have more people's business to do from this last session, and we also have other issues that have come up. So I'm always ready to talk to the legislature about passing laws that help the state. They wanted to talk about the pay issue, and I said, of course, I'm willing to talk about that also in a session where we're handling a lot of issues. But as it turned out, first, for me, I focused on Hurricane Sandy because I believed that was appropriate. That was almost all of November. We're still working on that intensively, but it was almost exclusively Hurricane Sandy all through November. So I didn't really have a chance to work on any other issues. And then you had all sorts of uncertainty on the legislative side. They're in the middle of a fight for the Senate leadership. So,
yeah, I do want to get to that in a moment. But just a quick question about year three. Do you think it's going to be dominated by reaction to Superstorm Sandy and trying to prepare for climate changes?
My state of the state?
Yeah, and just generally the year that you see as it's laid out, 2013.
I wish we had the luxury of focusing on one thing. We don't. We need to do what we need to do to help our brothers and sisters who were hurt and victims of Hurricane Sandy, and we need to do a lot of work vis-a-vis Hurricane Sandy. But we also have to continue doing everything we've been doing. First, Hurricane Sandy affected a big part of the state, but not the entire state. And I represent every city and every town and every county, so we have a lot to do just geographic areas that are not affected by the storm. And then we have a whole agenda that we've laid out that we have to continue to work on. So let's just say Hurricane Sandy, that work will be added on top of an already very large pile, but nothing comes off the list.
And it could potentially affect the state budget.
It
right?
could.
You don't know yet.
We don't know yet because we don't know if it's affected the revenue collections. Well, we know it has. We just don't know the extent to which it has. And we don't know what we're going to get from the federal government. We've requested a supplemental appropriation. We don't know if that comes through, and if it does come through, what it is. So that would be an offsetting factor.
So when the session does start, you had alluded to the new Senate coalition. I mean, the biggest question people have, is this going to work? It seemed like Senator Skelos yesterday was kind of walking back from expectations that they would pass the minimum wage and campaign finance reform and a number of other items on your litmus test.
Well,
he cast some doubt about that, I thought, in his remarks.
Yeah, well, let's separate because there are two issues as far as I'm concerned. The first issue is, who is the political leader of the Senate? who do the senators pick as their leader? That is a decision that should be made by the senators, and that is not a decision for me to be involved in. The executive is a different branch of government, and it's not my place to be making the leader of the Senate. It's also not my place.
Understood, but you do you have to work with them, I guess, on a practical level.
Yeah, but it's also not my place to get involved in this, what is an internal dispute that they're having, right? Basically among the Democrats. You know, people say, well, the Republicans did something. It's not really the Republicans. It's the Democrats can't agree with each other. There are three Democrats. They all basically want to be leader, or at least three want to be leader. There are probably more who want to be leader.
Probably so.
And they could not work it out. That's what happened here at the end of the day, Karen, right? You have three people at least who wanted to be leader. They couldn't come to an arrangement. They couldn't figure it out. So one of them said, well, then I'm going to go form my own faction. And now you have two Democratic factions and one Republican faction. And the split has reduced the Democratic conference, any one Democratic conference impact. That's because the Democrats couldn't agree with each other. And that's a Democratic dispute. And I'm not going to go across the aisle and say, okay, you three sit down. You're going to be this, and you're going to be this, and you're going to be this, and whether you like it or not. That's not what I am, who I am. It would be inappropriate. So issue one, I'm out of the leadership intramural discussion. Issue two is whether they function and whether they vote and what they pass or don't pass on behalf of the people of the state of New York. In that discussion, I am very involved because I was elected by the people of the state with a specific agenda. I'm putting that agenda forth. I expect it to be acted on. I expect a functioning Senate. And I expect support. And if we have a difference of opinion and they choose not to support an agenda that I believe is in the best interest of the people of this state and what the people of this state elected me to do, then I will oppose it with all my might.
So were you worried, though, about what Senator Scalia said yesterday?
I don't know what he said. I know what was reported.
He wouldn't make any commitments. I was there. I heard him. He wouldn't make any commitments about what would be on the floor. He said everything has to be discussed. And he was asked about your litmus test. And he said, well, the governor has priorities, but we have our priorities too.
Well, if they don't match, there will be an issue. I mean, it is what it is at one point. You know, I am here to get things done for the people of the state. And I'm not going to involve myself in their internal dynamics. I will totally involve myself when it comes to the people of this state. If he does not, we have to see exactly meant and how it turns out at the end of the day. But if they propose the agenda, Karen, then I am going to fight with all my might to get the agenda done that the people of the state want done.
Well, what would you do to involve yourself? Would you go to the Democrats and say, look, this is bigger than all of you, get together on this, and you can lead the Senate because you all agree on these issues, supposedly, or you said that you have, and just go to it?
Well, that assumes that the Democrats were actually supportive and the Republicans weren't. You know, who knows how it's going to shape out. But my basic redress is I go to the people of the state, and I explain to them the issues, and I build political support, and it is the popular support of the people that tends to intimidate the politicians. Because, look, if the politician gets on the wrong side of the people, then they have a problem. They can get on the wrong side of me individually, and then they get one less Christmas card. That doesn't really bother them. However, when they're on the wrong side of the people in their district, that does bother them.
But, you know, if there's dysfunction in the Senate, it's the governor who generally gets blamed, even if you're not involved, because people know more about the governor than they do about the Senate as a whole or individual senators. So that's got to concern you, because you've had pretty good track record the last 2 years, and, you know.
Well, look, blame. I did not have a perfect track record, I'm doing pretty well in terms of public confidence. I didn't get campaign finance passed last year either. I didn't get minimum wage passed last year either. I didn't get stop and frisk passed last year either. So the top of my list is the carryover from last year. And I wish I had gotten it passed last year, but you know, whether or not I was blamed and what the what that means, I don't know.
Does campaign finance reform, I know you've talked about it quite a bit, does it have to include public financing of campaigns to be viable? Would you accept legislation that didn't have that in it, or does that have to be a key component of it?
I think public financing of campaigns is very important, and I think it's an integral piece of a package. Now, it is a big package beyond public financing also, don't get me wrong. We have a hodgepodge quilt of rules and regulations that apply to lobbying and campaigns that make no sense, frankly. They're very difficult for a person to follow who wants to follow the law. They create many loopholes, and people get to hide in the shadows. So we're going to put forth a fundamental reform in campaign finance, disclosure, et cetera.
It'll have public campaign financing, though?
Yes.
It will. And is that make or break? You said it was important, but is it make or break for the ultimate bill? It's got to have that, or you might accept
something? I think it's very, very important to have a public finance piece in there.
Okay, but you're not saying make or break.
Well, everything is make or break, right?
All right. I know that I'm probably taking up more time than Josh wants me to, but just a couple quick questions. Hydrofracking, popular topic. Our listeners are very concerned about it. That health study going on, what is in that health data, and where did that come from? People are very curious about that, I think, on both sides of the issue, whether you're pro-fracking or anti-fracking. There's just been a lot of confusion about that.
I am pro and intelligent procedure that looks at all the facts and makes the decision based on the facts as opposed to the emotion, and makes the decision based on the input of professionals and experts who are trained in the field. This issue has big consequences on both sides. If there's a concern that it might damage the environment, which would be obviously very detrimental, there's a hope that it would generate jobs on the plus side. So it's big consequences, a lot of emotion, and what we've said all along is the process is what's most important now. The health study, because some groups said, well, we're more concerned about health concerns and we don't think they were taken into consideration. There's a difference of opinion whether or not they were taken into consideration to the requisite amount. But what we said is, well, fine, we want to make sure they were taken into consideration, so we'll have an additional health review headed by the health commissioner, and that's what we're in the midst of now.
But what is the data? What are they looking at? I mean, I would hope that the DEC commissioner and the DOH commissioner would have told you. I mean, what generally, where did it come from?
Where did what come from?
The health data that they're looking at.
They're looking at the experiences of other states in the country where this has been done, reports of possible health consequences, whether or not it's true, what remediation was done, what protections were taken there, and they will then help us make a determination whether or not there is a true health risk or not.
So the history of what's happened to other states.
Experience. You have a whole book of experience here now. You know, it's not a case of first impression. We don't have to guess how fracking works and what it could do. There's experience. There's other places. So they just have to look at what has happened in other places.
So is this the final stage, finally? Am I going to have to find other topics to cover after the end of February? I mean, you think this is the final push to decide whether to approve it or not.
Do you feel like you've heard enough about fracking, Karen? I feel like I've heard enough about fracking.
I feel like I can't really answer that as a journalist.
There's no doubt that it's been extensively discussed, by the way, as it should be. But yes, I no one would be more pleased than me when it comes to an end.
So you think it is the end?
Yes.
Okay. One quick question on Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, the 501(c) disclosure proposal that he is putting out. Does that go further than what Jake Hope is proposing, right? And do you think it's a good idea?
Well, that is different than J. Cope. But we were chatting before about the hodgepodge quilt.
Yeah. J. Cope deals more with lobbying disclosure.
J. Cope regulates lobbying. And they put forth a new set of regulations on lobbying reform. The Attorney General, which I am familiar with because I was the Attorney General, regulates not-for-profits that are registered in the state of New York. And he promulgates regulations about the not-for-profits that are registered in the state of New York. We're going to work on a piece of legislation for next year that will be part of the State of the State that rationalizes this entire system. The J. Cope regulations, I think, were a good start. I think we need to go further. The Attorney General's jurisdiction is helpful. I think we need to go further. Attorney General only has jurisdiction over not-for-profits registered in the state. So if an individual is doing the election campaign, it's not covered. If a corporation that's not a not-for-profit is doing the activity, it's not covered. You have all these national not-for-profits that aren't registered in New York, but we were just watching their advertising during the presidential campaign. I want them covered also, Karen.
Can you do that?
You need a new law, but I want a new law. And if it's activity in the state of New York, I want it covered. I don't care if you're registered in New York or you're registered in Timbuktu. And this entire situation between J. Cope and the AG and the Board of Elections and the campaign finance law, I think it has to be simpler, clearer, easier to follow, because there are a lot of companies and people who just want to follow the law, and it's incredibly difficult right now. There's overlapping regulations, many times contradictory regulations. So we'll clarify it, lobbying and campaign election committees, not-for-profit individuals, corporations inside the state, outside the state. And I very much would like to have the state of New York being the progressive leader when it comes to campaign finance, reform, transparency, disclosure, public finance limits. That's going to be our goal.
So this would be part of your campaign finance reform bill that you mentioned?
Yes. Hmm.
Okay, one last question. 12-12-12, the concert tonight. I have to admit, I'm sort of out of these kinds of things. You're going to that. Who's performing? Are you going to be able to get backstage and hang out with all the pop stars or whoever is doing this?
You know, I am going because the benefits are going to go to the victims of Hurricane Sandy. And I think it's great, and I think it's a great effort, and I want to applaud and thank all those people who worked on organizing it. The music is also supposed to be cool. You have The Who, you have Rolling Stones, you have John Bon Jovi.
Even people I've heard of.
Oh yeah, no, it's going to be great. But I think what's best thing about tonight, because I'm not a big concert goer, if you can tell, is the benefit for the victims of Sandy, and I think they're going to raise significant money, and I want to be supportive.
Okay, thanks very much. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for talking to me, Karen.
Okay, all right, bye.
Thanks.